When you read a poem without a rhythm or any music behind it, well, I should not say you, but I just used my own cadence and my own breath and my own pauses. However, that totally changes when you put a rhythm behind it, because the rhythm kind of dictates that the pauses come in different places. Well, I just discovered that.
So that alone made me go slower.
It makes the length, the time that the words take to be said, it's completely different.
And then when the musical context is repetitive, which is something she was sort of requesting, which is fine and very drum machine like, then there's, you know, I know you know my pieces, I like to do this anyway, there's an increases comprehensibility to repeat lines.
Right.
And it's sort of like when you read a poem and you go back to the beginning to see what did that mean. And so and all these things conspire to have fewer lines of text, but to elaborate them more.
So instead of making meaning through the narrative drive and the narrative flow, we make meaning through the combination of words and how they relate to the musical accompaniment and repetition.
What attracts me to Randy's music is the versatility. I think I listened to both the CDs that he gave me yesterday, and his range is amazing. So I suppose the most immediate thing is range. There are a couple of pieces where there are like sharp transitions. Instead of smooth transitions, there are like sharp transitions from one to the other, and I find that really exciting. And I like the mix of moments in the pieces where there are like things that I really recognize, things that I could turn on the radio and hear, and it's just like a snippet of it. And then as soon as I felt that, then it goes into something that I really don't recognize at all. So I guess I like the sharp juxtapositions.
Like you have the cross-cutting.
It's funny that when it's in cinema, I think it's totally true, and it may be even where I got a lot of it from. People never discuss it as abrupt. You think it's just like real life, and people are having breakfast, and suddenly they cut to the Sahara Desert, and no one says, "Wow, why did that happen?" But when you do it in music, and people just, but actually, you would know this, like Mozart's operas. If you go back and listen to the music from that time, they're very abrupt. I think a lot of things happen very suddenly.
God, Beethoven.
Yeah, compared to the people then, if you compare it to how they
live
now.
Which is why I like.
So see, also, I know all the stuff I play for you is vocal, which tends to make it less, have fewer interruptions. My instrumental pieces are often much, much more immediate, much more fast.
Oh, I'd love to hear those changes.
And can you answer the same question?
Sure. Well, I guess I would answer it first by saying, when people ask me what kind of music I write, I take pride in saying I write classical music. A lot of my peers want to disassociate themselves from that. But what I mean is, though I like to include very contemporary things, I also very much like feeling I'm part of a tradition. And it's like when people say, what is it to be Jewish? Well, it's not a religion, it's not a race. It is a religion, but to me it's a tradition. And so when I saw in Eleanor's work that I really appreciated was that although it's completely contemporary in terms of the content and subject matter, it is very strong in terms of technique, traditional things, resonances, and all that, so that I see it as similar to my work in that kind of way. It's rich with meaning and not just surfacey effects or something, but really built.
I expect to get a new experience, something that I've never tried before. Two passions melded into one, words and music.
I thought you were back to the cross and the Gibson.
Yeah, right. And you know, the passion of Eleanor. But no, it's like this is an adventure.